والسلام على رسول الله. منازل الندم، يعني الإنسان يعيش ثم أحيانا يقع منه أشياء يخطئ بها فيندم، يقول لو أني فعلت كذا لكان كذا. هذا الندم في هذه الدنيا إذا كان عنده متسع من الوقت يستدرك. كذلك قال الله عز وجل: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر. فالإنسان في خسارة، كل دقيقة تمر عليه هو يخسر من وقته من عمره، يخسر لأنه يتجه نحو القبر. الخسارة في المال ليست مهمة لأنه تعوض وهو في الدنيا، لكن الخسارة في الوقت لا يمكن تعويضها، لا يمكن لأحد أن يرجع إلى الوراء ساعة أو يرجع إلى الوراء دقيقة. الساعة تمشي إلى الأمام، ولذلك هو في خسارة إذا لم يعمل صالحا. لذلك استثنى الله عز وجل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، هؤلاء هم الفائزون. كذلك الإنسان حين يجد موضعا لا يستطيع فيه الرجعة يندم على ما فرط. أول هذه المنازل قوله عز وجل في سورة قاف: وجاء السكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد. الإنسان يكره الموت، لكن إذا جاءت الملائكة لقبض روحه ليس له من ذلك مفر. قال تعالى في سورة الأنفال: ولو ترى إذ يتوفى الذين كفروا الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم. هؤلاء الذين كفروا بالله عز وجل حين تأتيهم الملائكة ليس عندهم مفر إلا أن تضربهم الملائكة، يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم. وأيضا المؤمن يندم على التفريط، أنه ضيع وقته في غير طاعة الله. قال تعالى في سورة المؤمنون: حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال ربي ارجعون. طلب الرجعة كأنه الآن أدرك حقيقة ما كان يقال له، لأنه عاين المسألة التي أخبر عنها. لما رأى الموت، إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال ربي أرجعه، رجعني يا ربي. لعلي، ماذا قال؟ لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت. الآن هو طلب الرجعة إلى من أجل العمل الصالح. قال أهل التفسير منهم ابن كثير ينقل عن قتادة قال: والله ما تمنى أن يرجع إلى أهل ولا إلى عشيرة، وما رد يرجع إلى أهل ولا إلى عشيرة، ولا أن يجمع الدنيا ويقضي الشهوات، ولكن تمنى أن يرجع فيعمل بطاعة الله عز وجل. لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت. قال أيضا القرطبي: دلت هذه الآية على أن أحدا لا يموت حتى يعرف اضطرارا، أهو من أولياء الله أو من أعداء الله، ولولا ذلك لما سأل الرجع، فيعلم ذلك قبل نزول الموت وذواقه. كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها، هذه حقيقة إلا يقولها كل واحد. قال الشنقيطي: ليس هذا مقالة الكافر، ولكن أيضا المؤمن يطلب الرجعة لأنه يشعر أنه قصر وفرط في وقته. خلص إذا أجى ملك الموت، شو عرف إنه الآن بدأت الآخرة، قامت قيامته. فقال الشنقيطي رحمه الله: أن الكافر والمفرط في عمل الخير إذا حضر أحدهما الموت طلبا الرجعة إلى الحياة ليعملا العمل الصالح. هذا أول منزل سيقول كل إنسان فيه، سواء كافر أو مؤمن: يا رب رجعني حتى أعمل عمل صالح. لأن الناس في إيمانها، إن كان إيمانها قويا فهي تعمل في كل لحظة من أجل الآخرة، كأن الآخرة الآن. لكن الذي يضعف إيمانه ويتعلق بالدنيا لا يفطن للآخرة، فإذا وجد نفسه وجها لوجه مع ملك الموت يعلم أن المسألة ضاعت منه. كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. هو قادم إلى حياة البرزخ الآن حتى تأتي الآخرة. وأيضا الله عز وجل قال في سورة المنافقون: وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت. إنفاق في طاعة الله. الإنسان تجمع المال ولا تتذكر الآخرة، لذلك الله عز وجل قال: فأما من أعطى، أعطى ليس مالا، أعطى الوقت، أعطى الجهد، بذل كل ما في وسعه، أعطى واتقى وخاف الله عز وجل وصدق بالحسنى. وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول: رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها. ليس هناك أحد يرجع أو يؤخر. ولعلكم تذكرون ملك الموت حين جاء موسى عليه السلام، قال فدخل عليه بدون استئذان، قال قام موسى ففقأ عينه، فقأ عين الملك، دخل على صورة رجل. وهذا دليل أن من دخل بيتك من غير أن يسلم أو يستأذن لك أن تفقأ عن عينه. فرجع الملك إلى ربه، قال أرسلتني إلى من لا يريد الموت، قال ارجع فقل له: ضع يدك على جلد ثور فلك في كل شعرة سنة. جاء رجع إلى موسى فقال له: ضع يدك على جلد ثور ولك في كل شعرة سنة. قال: وما بعد ذلك؟ قال: الموت. قال: اقبضني الآن. وقال تعالى في هذا الماء: وأنذر الناس يوم يأتيهم العذاب فيقول الذين ظلموا ربنا أخرنا إلى أجل قريب نجب دعوتك ونتبع الرسل أولم تكونوا أقسمتم من قبل ما لكم من زوال. حقيقة الإنسان أنه حين يدعى إلى أن يكون في سبيل الله وأن يكون على الطريق المستقيم لا ينصاع إلى ذلك، ويظن بعدم انصياعه أنه باق ولا يزول. لما جاءهم الموت وجاءهم العذاب قالوا: ربنا أخرنا إلى أجل قريب. الله رد عليهم، يعني لماذا يعني تريدون؟ قال: نجب دعوتك ونتبع الرسل الآن، أولم تكونوا أقسمتم من قبل ما لكم من زوال، أي أنكم اجتهدتم وحلفتم أنكم لا يعني لا تموتون، بل أنتم تتعلقون بالدنيا ظنا منكم أنكم لا تموتون. فهذا أول موقف من مواقف الندم وطلب الرجوع إلى الدنيا.
Shaykh Hafidhu Allah wa Ra'ah began, of course, by thanking Allah and praising Him and sending the peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he said, as it concerns manazil al-nadam, the stations of regret, then the human being, the son of Adam, he lives, and at times throughout his life he makes mistakes, so he regrets the mistakes that he done. And he might say to himself, if I had done such and such or so and so, or if I hadn't done this or said that, out of regret of what he did. Because he feels that he has lost something in that action he did or didn't do. And likewise, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by time, humankind is in loss. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. He's in loss at all times. All humans are always losing. That is because each minute from your life is a loss from that life. It is another minute taken away from your time. So he is always in loss. As for losing your wealth, then this is something that can be regained, and it is not a big loss. As for losing your time, then time passes and never returns back. And this is the loss that cannot be regained. So the one who does not do the righteous actions in this time that he has, then he is truly the one that has lost, and he is the one that is a loser. And due to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the exception. All of mankind is in loss except for those who have believed and did righteous actions and called each other to it and had patience upon it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the exception for those who have believed and did the righteous actions. They are not in the same loss. They are not in loss like the rest of mankind. They are people that took care of their time and attained success in it. But even the believing person, then he has regret that he did not do better. He is not satisfied with his actions. He wants to do better. And when then drunkenness of death comes to you with the truth, and that is what you used to run from. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. And the angel comes to you in your death, in your grave, and then you know there is nowhere to run. And you know the reality of your situation. There is nowhere to go. So you will see those that the angels have taken their souls. And the angels are beating them, their faces and their behinds. This, of course, is for the kafir. There is nowhere to go for them. And then they really, truly understand regret. They really know what they have lost and why they're losers. The reality becomes clear. There is nowhere to run. The angels have come to take their souls. And now they're beating them in their faces and their behinds. As for the believer, you will find him also having a type of regret for wasting some of his time, not completely using his time wisely in this dunya. So he says, "O my Lord, return me back so I may do the righteous actions." So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, my Lord, return me back. Let me go back for a little bit so that I may do some righteous action." The Mufassirin here said this man will not return and seek to be with his family or to do anything with friends or to make more money. Rather, he asked Allah for one thing, "Return me back that I may do another righteous action for your sake." And the ayah is also a proof. The scholars have noted, it is also a proof for the person, or that the person that dies, he will know where he stands. He will know on which side of the line he stands when he dies. Is he from the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or was he from the enemies of Allah? Before he dies, he will know. And then he will say, "My Lord, let me return back to do righteous actions." Both the kafir and the believer will say that thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "No, it is merely a word that he has said. It is merely a statement that he has stated. And from behind them is a barzakh to the day that they are returned to Allah." And the barzakh is that state in which you are between this life and the akhirah, the day of judgment. So the mu'min, he understands at that point the wasting that he did of his time, if he wasted time. And he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return him back, just to do a little bit of good. All of the people will say this. Now understand something, the man, the person, his iman is strong. You will find him continuously doing actions that bring him closer to the Jannah. He is doing the actions as if Yawm al-Qiyamah is in front of him and it's approaching fast. So his actions are for the akhirah. And you will find the one weak in iman, procrastinating in actions, as if the akhirah is very far away from him, as if death is not going to come to him. And then the angel of death comes, where he does not accept it or expect it, and he knows the loss he had just lost. So at that point, he asked Allah, "My Lord, return me back, I may do righteous actions." And it said, No, rather, it is just a word, a mere statement that they state. And they will be in that state until Yawm al-Qiyamah, in the state of Barzakh, until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the righteous men and women to be ready for this day. Do the righteous actions that they may meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best manner and not have any regret. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and spend from that which we have given you of sustenance before death may come to the one of you, so he may say, O my Lord, return me back. Or, O my Lord, if you give me only a little bit of more time so that I may give in your path and that I may be from the righteous. And verily Allah will not let a soul live past its due date. That is, you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given you your time and you will not live past that. So don't let it happen that you may be having this type of regret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning you. So don't fall into this. But nonetheless, the people will do, they will fall short in these types of things. Even Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when the angel of death came to him, entered his house without permission. So Musa, he knocked out his eye. A person comes in your house without any permission, you have the right to knock out his eye. This is a dalil for that. Anyhow, the angel of death, when Musa punched him, he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, you sent me to one of your slaves that doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to die. What do I do with him? Okay. Go back to Musa and tell him, ya Musa, put your hand on the back of a bull. And every hair you touch, that's 1 year of life for you. So the angel of death, he goes back. He says, okay, Musa, put your hand on the back of a bull and every hair you touch, that's another year for you to live. He said, then what? He said, then you die. He said, then take me now. Just take me now. Therefore, no matter how long you live, you're going to eventually die and meet your Lord. So, the reality of this dunya is that it's going to end. And that the human, the mankind, should be ready for it. And he should be ready in the remembrance of Allah. Before that day comes where he says to Allah Azza wa Jal, O my Lord, return me back, that I may do something of righteous actions. And it is said to him, now, after my signs have come to you, or now, after death has come to you, is it not that you had done the actions from before? So this is the first station from the stations of regret. The person will ask his Lord to return him back to the dunya that he may do the righteous actions.
المنزل الثاني ما حدث به سعيد المقبوري عن أبيه أنه سمع أبا سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا وضعت الجنازة واحتملها الرجال على أعناقهم فإن كانت صالحة قالت قدموني قدموني وإن كانت غير صالحة قالت يا ويلها أين يذهبون بها يسمع صوتها كل شيء إلا الإنسان ولو سمعه لصعق ولذلك كان من السنة الإسراع في السير في الجنازة سيرا دون الرمل قد أخرج الشيخان وغيرهما عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أسرعوا بالجنازة فإن تك صالحة فخير تقدمونها عليه وإن تكن غير ذلك فشر تضعونه عن رقابكم.
And the second station of regret is what the second station of regret is what has been narrated from Sa'id al-Maqburi from his father that he heard Abu Sa'id al-Khudri say radiyallahu anhu the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said if the janazah is put down and the men carry it upon their shoulders if it is a righteous person then it will say hurry hurry put me forth and if this is if it was righteous and if it was ill it was evil it will say woe to me where are you going with me and all creatures around it will hear its sound except for the humans and had they heard it they would have fainted or they would have went crazy And from this, it is the sunnah to go forth with the janazah in a hurry. Not running, but in a hurry, you go forth with the janazah. That is because what the Shaykhan, Bukhari and Muslim, and other than them, narrate from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, be quick with the janazah, for if it was a righteous person, then you are bringing it forth to goodness. And if it was an evil one, then it's evil that you're throwing off of your backs.
المنزل الثالث في القبر وهذا نتحدث به غدا إن شاء الله بعد المنزل الثالث القبر يأتي يوم القيامة في يوم القيامة يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي أي لحياته الأبدية يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي وهذا في سورة الفجر قال تعالى كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى أي إذا تذكر لا تنفعه الذكرى وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فهو يندم على ما سلف منه من المعاصي ويود أنه لو ازداد من الطاعات إن كان طائعا ثم الله عز وجل يكافئ يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد ختم الله عز وجل فقال يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة مطمئنة حصل لها الاطمئنان لأنها اطمأنت إلى طاعة ربها استقرت إلى ذلك بينما الظالم يقول تعالى ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني. لكن ذاك وقت لا ينفع فيه الندم. ويقول: وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فيقول: يا ليتني لم أوت كتابيه. كل هذا يوم القيامة. فعلى الإنسان أن يستدرك لحظات عمره بالطاعة قبل أن يأتي يوم لا ينفع فيه الندم. ونحن الآن ننصت ونسمع، والله عز وجل أعطانا الوقت والعمر، ولكن ننتظر سنوات وإذا بنا ندخل في هذه المنازل. فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يثبتنا.
Shaykh Hafidhullah wa Ra'ah, he continued on to say, now the third station is in the grave. He said, inshallah, we'll talk about this tomorrow. The fourth one is the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, where the person will come and he will say, I wish that I had put forth for my life. The life that is meant here is the life in the Akhirah. I wish I had put something forth for the next life. So he is somebody that is regretting either the sins he had done in this dunya, or his wasting of time, or missing the righteous actions he could have done in this dunya. So he says, I wish that I had put forth more actions for the next life, for the real life. And that's why he says, لِحَيَاتِي, for my life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, now, if somebody has an English translation, it'd be nice, of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Fajr. We'll read it in Arabic and then, inshallah, somebody can bring it. كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّةِ. No, well, I'll wait for the translation for that. First ayah. No. Nay, when the earth is ground into powder, and your Lord comes with the angels in rows, and hell will be brought near, that day, on that day, the man will remember, or on that day will man remember, but how will that remembrance avail him? Meaning, on that day, he will regret, but the regret on that day is no avail to that person. And he will say, alas, would that I had sent forth good deeds for this life. And this is where he continues on to say, so on that day, none will punish as he was punished, or as he will be punished. Now, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says that his regret is that he was on a type of ma'asiyah, a type of sinful act. So he regrets the sinful act he was upon on that day. This is if he was a sinful person. And if he was a righteous person, he would wish that he had increased in righteous actions. So he would wish that he had increased in righteous actions, but the reality is on that day, your regret is not going to be worth anything. It doesn't help you on that day that you regret. Look, we're in a time right now that we're sitting and we have time and it's being counted against us, but we have time to act. Right now we could do righteous deeds or we could do sinful deeds. But if you don't want to regret, then if you don't want to regret, then count the moments of your life. And remember to be in the remembrance of Allah and His obedience at these moments. Because again, we have some time right now. And don't procrastinate, because it's only a few years until you are entered into this stage. And you're in this manzila. You're at this point of regret. And there is no avail. And there is no return for you. So the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, he admonishes us that the time is near. So work these righteous actions before you end up saying, woe to me, had I done better. Because on that day, it will have no avail.
الآن عند الحساب والقضاء والناس بين يدي الله تعالى موقف منزل خامس. قال تعالى ولو ترى إذ المجرمون ناكسوا رؤوسهم عند ربهم ربنا أبصرنا وسمعنا فارجعنا نعمل صالحا إنا موقنون. ربنا بان لنا الأمر ووضح الآن يقولون أبصرنا. في الحقيقة في الدنيا كانوا بعيدين عن الاتباع عن البصيرة ولا يسمعون، فطلبوا الرجعة لعمل الصالح. يرد عليهم الله عز وجل أيضا في سورة النبأ، قال إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه. كل إنسان سوف يرى ماذا صنع في الدنيا، إن حقا فحق وإن باطلا فباطل. ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. يتمنى الكافر أن يصير تراب. لماذا؟ النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في حديث أبي هريرة قال يقضي الله بين خلقه الجن والإنس والبهائم، وإنه ليقيد يومئذ الجماء من القرناء حتى إذا لم يبق تبع عند واحدة لأخرى قال الله كونوا ترابا. عند ذلك يقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا.
The fifth stage of regret. Is when the person comes forth for the reckoning, and well, the reckoning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah As-Sajdah, and if you see And had you seen the criminals with their heads down in front of their Lord saying, now we see and we hear, so return us back so that we may do righteous actions, we are certain. Now they have yaqeen. We see the meaning, the affair has become clear to us now. And we hear, we understand now. And we're certain in what you said is the truth. So they ask to be returned so that they do righteous actions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns back the answer to them. Verily, we had warned you of a severe punishment that is close, on a day that the person will see what his hands have brought forth. That is, the man or the person will see what his hands have brought forth of good or evil. He will be put in the weights and his actions taken into account. So if it was righteous and it was right, then he will get that which is in, and then he will be given that which is good. And if it was batil, it was false, then that's what he gets. What you put in is what you get out. So the kafir will continue on to say, yeah, woe to me had I, or if I could be turned into dust. The kafir will wish on that day that he be turned into dust because of the severeness of the situation. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam tells us, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, everybody will be brought forth in front of Allah. And they will be taken into account and they will be reckoned for, and everybody on that day now has to pay the debts. Even that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth the animal that had no horns and the animal that had horns. And it's payback time for the one that oppressed the other. And when there is nothing left and everything is equal, all has taken their rights from these creatures, the animals, he will say to them, now turn to dust. So this is the situation of the kafir. He wishes he could be like that. Turn to dust.
الآن حين يقفون على نار جهنم تتعدد مقالاتهم كلها فيها ندم. يقول تعالى في سورة الأنعام: ولو ترى إذ وقفوا على النار فقالوا يا ليتنا نرد ولا نكذب بآيات ربنا ونكون من المؤمنين. وقال في سورة الملك: وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير. قال في سورة الشورى: وترى الظالمين لما رأوا العذاب يقولون هل إلى مرد من سبيل. وقال في سورة الأنبياء عند أول مس من العذاب، هم وقفوا على النار نادمين أن تبدأ النار بلفحتها الأولى، ولئن مستهم نفحة من عذاب ربك، نفحة، ليقولن يا ويلنا إنا كنا ظالمين.
The next station we have, it will be the sixth. It is when they stand in front of the hellfire. And on that day, they stand in front of it. There will be various statements that they make in front of the hellfire. And one of them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating in Surah Al-An'am, "And had you seen if they stood upon the hellfire, so they said, 'Woe to us! Is it that we may return and that we may not belie or lie and reject the verses of our Lord and that we may become from the believers?'" Surah Al-An'am number 27. This is one of their statements. When they stand in front of the hellfire, they say, "We wish that we may return, so that we may not belie the verses of our Lord, and that we may be from the believers." This is a station of regret. They want to return and be from the believers. And then they say, as comes in Surah Al-Mulk, ayah number 10, We wish if we could have heard or comprehended. They say, "We wish we were from the people that heard and comprehended, so that we may not be from the companions of the hellfire. We may not be in the hellfire." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this in Surah Ash-Shura, and you see the criminals, the oppressors, when they see the punishment, they say, "Is there a way out? Is there a way out?" So in Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah number 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their situation at the first sight of Jahannam. All that touched them of it is a lafha, and that is a wind from Jahannam. It touches them. Or nafha. Nafha. And this is a wind from Jahannam. So it says, and if they are touched by the wind from the azab, from the punishment of your Lord, they will say, "Woe to us! We were from the zalimeen. We were from the oppressors, from the criminals." No.
أنا نفحة. يوجد سجن باسم نفحة. ويوجد سجن باسم شطة. هذه نفحة الدنيا وشطة الدنيا فالآخرة. نسأل الله. نعوذ بالله من عذابي. في النار الآن هم داخل النار في نار جهنم والعياذ بالله. لهم عدة مقالات. يقول تعالى في سورة الأحزاب: يوم تقلب وجوههم في النار يقولون يا ليتنا أطعنا الله وأطعنا الرسول. وفي سورة فاطر قال تعالى: والذين كفروا لهم نار جهنم لا يقضى عليهم فيموتوا ولا يخفف عنهم من عذابها كذلك نجزي كل كفور. وهم يصطرخون فيها، يعني ينادون فيها يجأرون، وهم يصطرخون فيها: ربنا أخرجنا نعمل صالحا غير الذي كنا نعمل. إذن هم طلبوا من الله عز وجل أن يخرجوا من نار جهنم حتى يعملوا صالحا غير الذي كانوا يعملوا، يعني حتى يعملوا بالتوحيد غير الذي كنا نعمل من الشرك والضلالة. فيقال لهم: أولم نعمركم يعني أعطيناكم عمرا، ما يتذكر فيه من تذكر، أعطيناكم عمرا تتذكرون فيه تنتفعون بالحق الذي عرض عليكم، أولم نعمركم ما يتذكر فيه من تذكر وجاءكم النذير فذوقوا فما للظالمين من نصير. إذن الإنسان في الآخرة يحتج عليه بأمرين: الأمر الأول بلوغ الرسالة، والأمر الثاني العمر، أعطي عمرا. لذلك ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: من بلغ 60 من عمره فقد أعذر الله له في العمر. من بلغ 60 من عمره فقد أعذر الله له في العمر. وفي سورة الأنعام تذكير بهذه المنازل قبل لقاء الله عز وجل. قال تعالى: قد خسر الذين كذبوا بلقاء الله، خسروا حتى إذا جاءتهم الساعة بغتة قالوا يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها وهم يحملون أوزارهم على ظهورهم ألا ساء ما يزرون. هذا كلام الكفار في نار جهنم، فهل يعذب أهل التوحيد في نار جهنم؟ الجواب: نعم، هم تحت المشيئة، إن شاء الله عذبهم وإن شاء غفر لهم، لكن عذابهم في نار جهنم أخف بكثير من عذاب أهل الكفر. الله عز وجل قال: فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى، الأشقى الكافر الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم هو في هذه النار لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. بينما في حديث ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول: حتى إذا دخل أهل التوحيد النار ليعذبوا فيها أماتهم إماتة، أماتهم إماتة، يعني دليل أنهم يأخذون قسطا خفيفا من نار جهنم على إثره يموتون. ثم هو الله عز وجل يأذن بالشفاعة لهم ويشفع في النهاية لمن كان في قلبه ذرة من إيمان، فيخرجهم من نار جهنم إلى الجنة. أما الكافر الذي يكفر بالله ويصر على عداوة الله عز وجل فإنه سوف يندم ويقول: يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها، هم يحملون أوزارهم على ظهورهم، ألا ساء ما يزرون. فهو يعذب بالشرك ويعذب بالذنوب الأخرى، لأن الكافر مطالب بفروع الشريعة كما هو مطالب بأصولها. ما سلككم في سقر؟ قالوا: لم نكن من المصلين، ولم نكن نطعم المسكين، كنا نخوض مع الخائضين، وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين. نسأل الله لنا ولكم الثبات والعافية وحسن الختام.
The next destination or the station of regret is when the people are entered into the hellfire, when they're in the hellfire. You know, before that, the Sheikh says, Nafha is a jail in Jahannam. Washatta?
La, misujan fi Jahannam. Sujan anna.
Andakum? Andakum? Half one. Okay, these are jails in over there. Palestine? A'udhu billah. So Nafha is a jail in Palestine. I got another one called Shatta. We be eating Shatta over here. That's what we do with it. Now, when the people, they enter Jahannam, they have various sayings as well. And from them is what has come in Surah Al-Ahzab. They say, on the day that their faces are turned in the fire of Jahannam, they say, we wish that we had obeyed Allah and we had obeyed the Messenger. We wish that we had obeyed Allah and that we had obeyed the Messenger of Allah. And then they say in Surah Fatir, as Allah states, and those that disbelieved, kafaru, then for them is the hell, the fire of Jahannam, and they will not die in it. Or it has been decreed for them and they will not die in it, and the punishment will not be lightened upon them. And this is how we deal with those, and this is how we deal with every disbeliever. And they will start to scream, yastarikhun, and this is screaming and yelling in it, saying, our Lord, take us out that we may do righteous actions, not the actions that we used to do from before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, is it not that your lives were built up and you were given time? Had you not remembered when the time was there for you to remember and the warner had come to you? So taste the punishment of Jahannam, and there is for the oppressors no safety and no one to grant them victory. That is, did you not have enough time to remember in this life? Did not the reminder come to you and the warner warn you? But you forgot and you stayed away from it. So therefore now, this is the way you are dealt with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in a hadith concerning this ayah, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said there, yani the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given 60 years of age, he has no udhur, he has no excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's been given plenty of time to repent and come back. So the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him that type of age, to pass past 60 years, he has no excuse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the words of the kuffar on the Day of Judgment, or in Jahannam, that they're entered into this hellfire, the fire of Jahannam. They enter into it, but the people of Tawheed, do they enter the same hellfire, or do they enter hellfire? Sheikh said, yes, they do enter hellfire, but that is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, they are under the mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for everything is up to Him. But they're under the mashi'ah, the will of Allah. If He forgives them, He forgives them, and if He punishes them, that's His choice. But their Jahannam is a different sort. It is not with the Jahannam of the kuffar. It is not the same fire. It is of a lighter source. It's a different type of fire. It's a different place that they are punished. Now, the kuffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, they don't die in it, as is preceded in the ayat from before. They are living. There is no death for them, and the punishment is not lightened for them. In the fire for the muwahideen, their punishment is lighter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, describes it as they will be entered into Jahannam, and Allah, they die in it. When the believer enters, or the muwahhid, he goes to the fire, then he dies, unlike the kafir, which does not die. It's everlasting punishment for him. So after his punishment, he dies from its severity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His will take them out. Because at this point, the intercessors may come and intercede for them. They're in Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that the intercessors intercede for them, the shafa'ah, come to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out whoever there is in his heart, even a mustard seed of iman in his heart, then he will eventually be taken out. Now the kafir, the mushrik, the one that rejected, and he stayed upon his kufr, this is not the case. He will be in there forever, and his punishment is everlasting and ever increasing. And he is punished twice. He is punished for his shirk and kufr, his disbelief, and associating partners with Allah. Likewise, he's punished for not upholding the duties that he was asked to, for the kafir is from whatever sharia is asking of everybody, that includes the kafir. He is asked to pray, he's asked to fast, and all this stuff. It is said to them, what is it? What is it that has put you into the hellfire? They say, we were not from those who prayed, nor were we from those that gave the zakah. And we used to be foolish with the foolish and heedless with the heedless. So these are all proofs that they are asked, why did you not pray? Why did you not fast? This is something they are questioned about, just like the believers. And the ayah that the Shaykh, hafidhullah, he ended with, he said, and those that have lost themselves, those who have lost are those who have lied in the appointment with their Lord until the hour has come to them. Suddenly, they said, woe to us, in that which we spent our lives wasted, and in it they will carry their sins upon their backs. How bad or how evil a load that they carry upon themselves. تريد الأسئلة في صلب الموضوع ولا؟
أنت ترجم لي.
هو يسأل عن الذكر على اليد اليسرى هل يجوز يعني هكذا بدل كيف؟
هنا بعض الأسئلة، منها على سبيل المثال هذا السؤال: هل يعذر المكلف بالجهل في أصول الدين أو العقيدة؟ وهل هناك فرق بين أصول الدين وفروعه؟ الجواب وبالله عز وجل التوفيق، من أصول الدين أو من أسس الاعتقاد أن يؤمن بالله عز وجل وملائكته وكتبه واليوم الآخر، وأن يؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. هناك مسائل وأركان ما يسمى بالفقه الأكبر، وهذه واجب على كل مسلم أن يتعلمها، لقوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. فلا يعذر بالجهل من أعرض عن ذكر الله عز وجل، لقوله: فما لهم عن التذكرة معرضين، كأنهم حمر مستنفرة فرت من قسورة. فيجب على الإنسان أن يتعلم دينه، لأنه في القبر سوف يسأل: من ربك؟ ما دينك؟ ماذا تعرف عن هذا الرجل؟ فالإنسان مطالب بأصول الدين، وهو أيضا مطالب بفروعه، يعني هو مطالب أيضا بالصلاة وبالزكاة وبالصيام وبالحج، وآثم من تركها. لذلك فالمكلف لا يعذر بالجهل، فعليه أن يتعلم دينه. لذلك تجدنا حين نسأل الناس عن مسائل في العقيدة ويجهلها نقول له تفضل تعال الدرس، احضر الدرس، تعلم. والله عز وجل أمر بالعلم، أول آية قال اقرأ تعلم، فكيف يكون لهذا عذر إذا جاء يوم القيامة والله عز وجل أعطاه من العمر لكن في بعض مسائل الدين بفروعه يكون هناك إن قام البعض به سقط عن الآخرين، فليس هو من فروض إنما هو من الكفاية، يعني إن قام به بعض سقط عن الآخرين في بعض العلوم الشرعية، لكن أصولها مما يجب عليه أن يعتقد فهذا واجب ولا يعذر بالجهل.
Make the brother that asked us come up and translate it. Mashallah. Is the person taken into account, or is the person has the excuse of ignorance in the fundamentals of the religion and belief system, the aqidah? And is there a difference between the fundamentals and principles and the branches of the religion? Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said, well, from the fundamentals of belief is your belief in Allah and His angels and His books and messengers and the last day and the decree, the good of it and the bad. These are all things that it's wajib to believe in and have. And there are in the religion certain issues and fundamentals or pillars, and these are called fiqh al-akbar, a greater understanding. And these are also wajib. They're an obligation upon the person to learn. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, seeking knowledge is a fariḍa. It's an obligation upon every Muslim. So therefore, it's an obligation upon you to seek knowledge in these issues. You cannot be ignorant of them, in other words. So there is no excuse for the person in ignorance in these types of affairs. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people that don't want to seek knowledge, running away from it. كَحُمُرْ مُسْتَنْفِرَ, like wild beasts running away. فَرَّتْ مِنْ قَصْوَرَ, running away from the predators. Or lions, like the donkey running away from a lion. They're running away from knowledge like this. And this is their example, like donkeys running away from lions. It should be that they are seeking knowledge, because it is wajib upon them. And the person, he is questioned about this, these fundamentals. He's asked in his grave, who is your Lord? What is your deen? Who is this man? About Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's questioned about these things. He needs to know them. There is no excuse of being ignorant. Likewise, he needs to know the other branches of his deen. The salah, the sawm, the zakah, the hajj. These are other things that he must know. There is no excuse for ignorance. So the person will be reckoned for the issues of Islam, of aqidah, of belief, the branches and fundamentals of it. He says, now there are some issues. Well, before he went on to that, it might be that we ask a person a question about aqidah and they say, I don't know. Well, we invite them to the class. It's wajib for you to learn. Come learn your aqidah in our class. Because it's wajib, so you invite him to come and learn. But there are some issues, masail, that if some of the Muslimin uphold them, then the rest of them don't have to. Means if some from between us go out and learn those issues or do them, then the rest of us don't have to carry that burden.
كتب سؤالا هنا. قال هل يجوز الهجرة إلى أمريكا؟ لا يسمى الحضور إلى أمريكا هجرة، الهجرة من أمريكا إلى بلاد المسلمين، أما هذا يسمى التغرب. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن التعرب. التعرب أن ينتقل إلى الأعراب، إلى مناطق البادية، لأن الانتقال إلى مناطق البادية يعني البعد عن الدعوة إلى الله، البعد عن المدنية، والبعد عن المخالطة الناس ودعوتهم إلى الحق. لذلك اعتبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التعرب من الكبائر، فما بالكم بالتغرب. الإنسان عليه لا يفعل ذلك لا إذا كان للضرورة، والله أعلم.
Can you make hijra to America? Or can you come here to live? First of all, this is not called hijra. Coming from a land of the Muslimin to America is not hijra. Rather, leaving America to the lands of the Muslimin is what is hijra. Leaving the lands of kufr to the lands of Islam is what is considered hijra, migration. Rather, this should be called tagharrub, leaving your land, becoming estranged. This is what it's called. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited the people from at-ta'arrub. At-ta'arrub means to go into the badiyah, to the desert, into the lands of the Bedouins and live alone. He prohibited the people from this. He saw it as from the major sins, because in that is staying away from the slaves of Allah. In it is not mixing with the people, not doing those wajibat that you have to do. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't see this as permissible. Going out alone, the lands of the Muslimin, and staying away from the people. He didn't see that as permissible. So what do you, if he didn't see the ta'arrub as permissible, what do you think about at-tagharrub? Estranging yourself in the land other than the lands of the Muslimin. So the person should not do this. This is not permissible for him, and Allah knows best.
سؤال آخر، ما حكم استعمال لفظ مغيثي عند الإشادة أو الإشارة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بعض الأناشيد؟ أولا، هذه الأناشيد التي يصنعها أصحاب الطرق الصوفية وغيرهم من أهل البدع، هذه الأناشيد لم ترد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا فعلها أحد من الصحابة. وقولهم في الأناشيد مغيثي هذا والعياذ بالله من الشرك، لا يجوز هذه اللفظة أبدا. وهؤلاء يستغيثون بالنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وهو ميت لا يغيث أحد، ليس له حول ولا قوة، بل هذه اللفظة من الضلالات، الله أعلم.
What is the ruling on the word mughithi in some of the anashid? And there's talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Mughithi means literally my comfort. What is the ruling on this? The Shaykh hafidhullah, he says, first of all, these anashid, forms of, you know, singing that have come apparent today, that the Sufis and other than them of the people of innovation have introduced, is not from Islam. It has not been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam or any of his companions that they used to do any of these anashid. Rather, this is something that has been introduced from the Sufis and their likes. This word mughithi, talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling him mughithi, my comfort, this is from the shirk. This is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something we seek refuge in Allah from. And it is to know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is dead, and he can't be the mughith of anybody. He's dead, alayhi salatu wa salam, and Allah knows best.
هنا سؤال آخر ما حكم السترة في الصلاة ماذا أفعل إذا مر أمامي أحد الجواب السترة واجبة السترة واجبة لا تصلي إلا وأمامك سترة إذا مر أمامك أحد فحاول أن تمنعه تقاتله على ذلك فإنه شيطان السترة ألا تزيد أن تكون مثل الرحل رحل الجمل بهذه يعني مسافة هكذا نص متر تقريبا يعني أو عصا أو كرسي أو سارية نعم تصلي إذا كنت في منفردا تصلي خلفها سواء في المسجد أو خارج المسجد نعم
Shaykh Hafidhullah was asked about the sutra. What is its ruling and is it... what do you do if somebody passes in front of you? Shaykh Hafidhullah, he says, sutra is wajib. So you need to take a sutra when you need to take a sutra when performing your salah. If somebody wants to pass in front of you, then you restrict them from doing that. And if they do it anyway, then you fight them because they're a shaitan. You fight them to not pass in front of you because they're a shaitan. The brother Barakallah Fi asked, what is the sutra? How does it look? He said it is something you place in front of you and it's about the height of half a meter or a stick's length. This is the sutra.
سؤال آخر هنا ما الفرق بين الصور المخطوطة في اليد يعني يقصد الرسم المرسومة والتي بالكاميرا كلاهما صورة ليس هناك فرق بين الاثنين وكلاهما لا يجوز
The question was asked about what is the difference between hand-drawn paintings or pictures and those taken with a camera. The Sheikh said they're both pictures and they're both not permissible.
سؤال عن فضائل المسجد الأقصى هذا عندنا إن شاء الله محاضرة غدا فنبين. جزاكم الله خير. سؤال آخر هل تجوز العمليات الانتحارية هذا أجبنا عليه قلنا أنه لا يجوز. هل هم في النار؟ نسأل الله لهم السلامة لكن أعمالهم هذه لا تجوز الله أعلم بهم
The question was asked about suicide bombings. What's their ruling and are the people in hellfire that do them? Sheikh Hafidhullah, he said, we answered this before, they're not permissible, they're not from Islam, and if the people are in hellfire, Allahu A'lam, they're not permissible to do.
تسأل هنا هل يجوز لها الاختلاط وهي سنية بامرأة شيعية أولا العلاقة بين الإنسان وغيره من الآخرين يجب أن تكون علاقة في الله بغض النظر إن كان هذا كافرا أرحمك الله إن كان هذا كافرا أو مبتدعا أو على السنة فإن كان على السنة فإنه يحبه ويواليه ويأمره دائما بالمعروف وينهاه عن المنكر، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمن مرآة للمؤمن. وإن كان كافرا فدائما عليه أن ينصحه في الإسلام، وأن يكون نيته وقصده من هذه العلاقة أن يصير هذا الرجل مسلما مؤمنا ينقذه من النار. وأما إذا كان هذا مبتدعا فليحاول أيضا أن يبين له طريق الحق وأن يهديه إلى السنة، فإن بقي في البدعة والضلالة وأراد أن يحمله على الابتداع ولا يسمع منه فيهجره لعله بالهجر يستقيم، إذا لم يستقم بالهجر فليخشى منه خشية أن يتأثر فيه، فليقطع هذه العلاقة إذا صدر منه صد عن الدعوة وعن سب للصحابة. أي علاقة إذن هذه تبقى؟ الله أعلم.
Sheikh Hafidhullah was asked, is it permissible for a Sunni woman to be mixing with a Shia woman? The Sheikh Hafidhullah, he says the person needs to look at those people he sits with. From them is the Sunni, the Kafir, and other than that. If you're sitting with a Sunni person upon the Sunnah, then you remind him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these types of things, you order him to do good and you forbid him from the evil, for he's with you in this. So you just remind him. For the kafir, well, you call him to Islam. You have pity over him in the misguidance that he's in. You try to call him to Islam and bring him to it and save him from the hellfire. And likewise, the mubtada, the innovator, you call him to the sunnah, you make it clear to him, this is the way of the haqq, this is the way that is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now if he stays upon this innovation, this evil, then you are to make hajr of him, that is, you're to cut him off in order that he may return back to the haqq. Maybe that this will help him, he returns back. Now if he continues and persists upon this innovation, then the affair is you completely cut off and sever your ties with this person. For what ties are left with a person that curses the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? There is no ties between us and them at that point, and Allah knows best.
ممكن أن تعرف الصوفية وعلاماتهم ولماذا جعلتهم من المبتدعة؟ أنا ما جعلتهم المبتدعة، هم جعلوا أنفسهم مبتدعة. لذلك أنصح هذا السائل أولا أن يتعلم السنة وعقيدة السلف الصالح، ثم هو يرى لماذا الصوفية أهل بدعة. أولا لا بد من النظر في كتاب الله وتعلم السنة وما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الاعتقاد والعمل، ثم ننظر إلى أحوال من يخالف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لنرى ما عنده من البدع. نعم، وإلا الكلام في الصوفية كلام طويل وليس محله الآن.
Question is asking why or who are the Sufis, the Sufiya. What are their distinguishing characteristics and why did you make them from the people of innovation? Jazakallahu khairan. Sheikh said, the first thing is, I didn't make them from the people of innovation. They made themselves from the people of innovation. And I advise the questioner that they learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They learn the methodology he and his companions were upon alayhi salatu wasalam. So he may or she may now distinguish between the haqq, that which is right, and the batil. They will now be exposed to the truth and reality of what the belief system of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the characteristics and worship he was on and the difference between that and what all these other innovated sects are upon. Now, when the person, he learns this, these innovations will become clear to him. They will become wadih. So, he advises us and the questioner that we learn the manhaj, we learn the methodology that they were upon, how they lived, and their belief system. As for the characteristics of the Sufis, this is something that will take a very long time, and maybe this will be opened up in another sitting, and Allah knows best.
تسأل هل يحرم على النساء أن تسافر لطلب العلم؟ الجواب لا يحرم عليها، إنما لا يجوز لها أن تسافر لطلب العلم إذا لم يكن معها محرم. أما أنها تريد أن تطلب العلم فهذا، فإن كانت متزوجة فليكن بإذن زوجها والتعاون معه، وأن يكون معها محرم. وهل يجوز للنساء أن تلبس الحذاء دون جوارب فتكشف أصابع رجليها؟ هذا لا يجوز، لذلك قدما المرأة عورة أيضا، لا يجوز لها أن ينكشف من رجلها شيء، عليها أيضا في الصلاة أن تغطي قدميها.
The first question is about, is it permissible for the woman to travel and seeking knowledge, or is it haram for the woman to travel to seek knowledge? No, it's not haram for her to seek knowledge. It's not haram for her to travel to seek knowledge. Rather, what is haram is that she seeks knowledge or she travels without a mahram. That's what's not permissible. She travels without a mahram. A mahram being a male that she cannot marry that is to accompany her, that is old enough to accompany her in her travels. Now, if she wants to seek knowledge and she is married, then she takes the permission from her husband, and if she has to travel, then she takes this mahram with her. What is the ruling on the woman, or is it permissible for a woman to wear shoes, open-toed shoes, without any socks, and her toes, yani her toes are, people could see her toes? No, this is not permissible. It is from the awra. She needs to cover her toes.
أنا أيضا سؤال مسلمة جديدة تريد التعرف بالفرق أو تعرف الفرق بين الشيعة والسنة. أولا المسلمة تتعلم دينها أولا، ثم تنظر في الفروق. لا نبدأ مع الناس هؤلاء بتعريف الفرق إلا أولا نعلمهم سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعقيدة أهل السلف، حتى يستطيعوا فيما بعد أن يميزوا الفرق بين الحق والباطل.
The questioner asked, what's the difference between, I'm a new Muslim, what's the difference between the Shia and Ahl Sunnah? Just first of all, we advise the person to learn the Haqq, to learn the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and learn his way. And then we'll start to introduce the differences between the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the correct way, and these other false ways. We don't begin with these side issues. Rather, we begin with the fundamentals, and that is learning your deen.
هنا حديث قول جمع عمر بن الخطاب الناس في صلاة التراويح ولم يفعلها النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جمع الناس على صلاة التراويح في اليوم الأول والثاني، ثم خشي أن تفرض عليهم، فصلوها في عهده وفي عهد أبي بكر رضي الله عنه. صلوها في بيوتهم، ثم لما كانت خلافة عمر بن الخطاب ورأى الناس أنهم لعلهم يتكاسلون عنها جمعهم، فجمعوا عمر بن الخطاب على أصل، وقوله نعمة البدعة هذا من ناحية اللغة، أي أنه جمعهم في وقته فأحدث هذا على أصل، فلا يعني أنه ابتدع في شرع الله، إنما هو جعل هذا الفعل على أصل ما فعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من جمع الناس في اليوم الأول والثاني على صلاة التراويح، وصلاها بهم 11 ركعة، ولم يصلها بهم 20 كما زعم البعض، والله أعلم.
Questioner asks, why did Umar bin al-Khattab رضي الله عنه bring the people together to pray Salat al-Taraweeh in Jama'ah and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not do that? Shaykh Hafidhullah, he says Salat al-Taraweeh rather was established by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He prayed with them the first night, the second night, and the third night, and then he feared that it might be something that will be wajib upon them, an obligation, so he stopped. And at the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the people prayed together in their homes. And then at the time of Umar radiyallahu anhu, he saw that the people might become lazy from doing it. So he said, okay, come together and we'll pray together so the people don't become lazy. And his statement, blessed this newly invented matter, or this innovation, is from a linguistic point of view, because Umar radiallahu anhu, he did something that already had a basis in the Sunnah. It is not brand new. It is not something introduced. Rather, he said it from a linguistic standpoint, which means, blessed this new action, yani this renewed action. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did pray with the Sahaba. He did bring them together. He prayed 11 rak'at, and he did not pray more than that, as is narrated that he prayed 20. This is not an authentic statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor an action. Rather, he prayed only 11, and Allah knows best.
تسأل هنا أو يسأل عن قول الله عز وجل في سورة هود فأما الذين شقوا ففي النار لهم فيها زفير وشهيق خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك إن ربك فعال لما يريد. شقوا يعني كفروا بالله عز وجل، فهؤلاء استحقوا عذاب نار جهنم. لهم فيها زفير وشهيق، أي أنهم يصدر منهم أصوات شنيعة قبيحة لعظم عذابهم. ومعلوم في الحديث، حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، أن ضرس الكافر في جهنم مثل جبل أحد. وقوله عز وجل خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض، هذا دليل على أن الخلود خلود أبدي، وليس مثل من قال أن النار تفنى. النار لا تفنى، إنما النار باقية ما دامت السماوات والأرض. إلا ما شاء ربك، إلا من شاء ربك أن يخرجه من نار جهنم بسبب توحيده، إن ربك فعال لما يريد. الله عز وجل يفعل ما يريد، وهذه إرادته.
إيش الدرس شيخنا؟ درس الكافر
مثل جبل درس هذا
قد جبل أحد؟
مثل جبل
الله أكبر.
أنا وقت الصلاة. طيب يلا ترجم هذا. أنا وقت الصلاة.
The questioner is asking about the ayah in Surah Hud. This is ayah number 106. As for those who are shaqi, and I'm just saying shaqi because he's going to explain what shaqi is. They are in the hellfire, they are in the fire of Jahannam. In it, they have Zafir and Shahiq, and he's going to explain what that is. Khalidina fiha, they are in there forever, as long as the heavens and the earth, except if your Lord wills to take them out, meaning, verily your Lord does that which he wishes. Tayyib. As for those, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا, those that have been shaqi, bad, evil. And here the meaning of the those that are shaqi, evil, or bad, meaning those that have disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that have disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in the hellfire. And further on he says, they in there for them is zafir and shahiq. Zafir and shahiq is sounds that are disliked and very ugly that they make out of the punishment and torment of Jahannam. They are in there forever, khalidina fiha, in there forever as long as the heavens and the sky are around. Meaning they will be in the hellfire forever. There is no end to the hellfire. And this is a proof for the fire will never end. Unlike the statement of some people that the fire will be extinguished by Allah eventually, this is not true. Rather, it will never end, and their punishment and torment is everlasting, not ending. Except for those that your Lord wishes to take out, meaning from the people that are upon some type of tawheed. The people that have tawheed and were put in there, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His mercy takes them out. Eventually, verily your Lord does as He wishes. Allah, so it seems like it's time for Salat al-Maghrib, so we could stop here. Bismillah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.